here's what I began to hear, that parents, Christian parents, good-meaning, well-intending Christian parents, thought that their job was to set up a neat system of rules that would manage and control the behavior of their children. And if they did that, their children would be okay. Now, do your children need rules? Yes. But what we have to understand about God's law is that it's great at revealing sin. It exposes what's in our hearts. It's a great guide for life. But the law has no ability whatsoever to change or transform your children. And so our children need something more than that. Because if the law could change our children, Jesus would have never had to come. It wouldn't have been necessary. He had given his law. The fact that Jesus came meant if we're really going to be changed, we need something more than just a set of rules.
We like rules, though. You know, systems work for us. We feel comfortable with that. Grace seems messy, I suppose.
Yeah, it does. And I think that one of the problems is, I think there's a pretty widespread misdefinition, misunderstanding of grace. I think often when parents hear, give your children grace, what they hear is, be permissive. Don't emphasize authority. Grace is not about being permissive. Grace is not about calling wrong right. If wrong were right, there would be no need for grace. Grace always sees wrong as right, wrong as wrong. But what grace does, rather than just angry words and punishment, grace asks the question, what is God seeking to do in this person's life? How is God seeking to change this person, and how can I be part of it? So I move toward the person as God's tool, rather than just saying, I'm going to enforce a punishment, I'm going to say condemning words, and walk away.
You address issues of authority. That's tied in with character. Just thinking about that verse in Proverbs, you know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. I mean, that, you know, we all need to understand the reality of sin in our lives, don't we? I mean, we all have a problem with authority.
Yeah, you know, a child doesn't come into the world esteeming authority. In fact, probably the best way to talk about the children that we parent is, like us, they're little self-appointed, self-sovereign sinners. And so they're going to push against authority. Let me give you an example. Those arguments, fights over what to eat or when to go to bed, they're not about the topic. My child hasn't read a diet book and has come to a commitment that they want to eat the paleo diet. Or my child hasn't taken a sleep study and they're debating how much sleep they need. When they argue about those things, they're arguing because they're saying to you, you will not rule me. I'm going to be the only ruler that I need. So those battles over authority are very, very important. And it's very important to have those battles early when it's little things. I have parents say all the time, well, it's just little issues. Why fight over little issues? Praise God that they're little issues. Praise God that in those moments you have a chance to teach your children that authority is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a patient thing. It's a protective thing. It's a wisdom-giving thing so that they come to esteem authority. You don't want to fight your authority battles with a 17-year-old.
Probably most of us think in terms of Ephesians 6 is a key passage on parenting. Say a bit more about that passage, and I know that you also suggest that there's maybe a better parenting passage in the Bible. So talk about Ephesians 6 and then going beyond that.
I think Ephesians 6 is a wonderful passage. It really defines how important obedience is and how important honor is. But one of the things I love about Ephesians 6 is that moment where it says, parents or fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. That means that as I exercise authority, I have no independent authority. My authority is representative authority because I'm an ambassador. That means that every time I exercise authority, it must be a beautiful picture of the authority of God. Because I want to take be used of God to take children who naturally resist authority and show them that authority is not a crushing thing. Authority is a beautiful thing. And so the way that I exercise authority is very important. But I think there's another passage that has huge application to parenting that we miss, and that's what we call the Great Commission. When Jesus commissioned his disciples and said, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." What a beautiful passage. God says, "I've got all the authority and the power that you could ever want for this task, so you go." And what's the task of parenting? Not producing athletes or musicians or college graduates first. The first primary goal is to make disciples of my children, because it's only when they willingly surrender their hearts to God, not just in a salvation way, but in every area of their life, that they will live the way they're supposed to live. How do I do that? I look for every teaching opportunity that God will give me. And as I do that, I know he didn't just send me, he's going with me. And in every moment, I'm not just reliant on my power, but on his power. Neil, I want to say it this way. God doesn't give parents children because they're able. He gives parents children because he's able.